Morning. If y'all have your Bibles, turn to Romans 3. You know, man has an opinion of himself, of who he is as a whole. And they also have an opinion as of who God is as a whole and who his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is as a whole. What we want to look at this morning is what God's opinion is of man and what his opinion is of himself and of his son, the character of God and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. But the first thing we want to look at is we know that by nature all men are sinners before a holy and a righteous God. And it clearly talks in the Holy Scriptures when Adam sinned against God, that Adam being the representative of all mankind, that all men suffered the penalty of sin, and that we all died spiritually. Romans 5:12 says, "Therefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed from all men, for that all have sinned." Then as we look here in chapter 3 of Romans, this is what God says about man in verses 10 through 12. It says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." All men by nature are sinful, guilty, and helpless. And unless God intervenes, we have no way to God. Before the foundation of the world, God chose to have a people for his son, which is our Lord Jesus Christ. And God placed his elect in his son. And who would be in his son, who would be their mediator of the elect? He would be their mediator, our substitute, our redeemer, and our savior. God is just, and he is a just God, and God must punish sin. So the question is, how can God be just and yet be justifier of the ungodly? 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also," and this word means a lot, "hath once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God." All the promises of God, this is something a lot of men don't understand, but all the promises of God are in Christ Jesus our Lord. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all the promises of God in him," which is Christ Jesus, "are yea," or "yes, yes, and in him, amen, unto to the glory of God by us." If you will, we're going to turn to our text now, which is in 1 Peter. Chapter 1. I've titled this message, "The Cleansing Blood of Christ." As we've seen, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Our text is going to be in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21. And if you would, we will read it at this time. Beginning in verse 18, God's Word says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers," but this is so precious right here, but listen to this, "but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifested in these last times for you." Who's you? "Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." In verse 18 here, Peter says, for as much as you know. Who's he talking to? If you look in the same chapter here, look at verse 2 of 1 Peter chapter 1. He says, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. He's talking to all of God's elect. And he says here in verse 18, for as much as you know, it's not speculation, but it's something that we know. And we know it by the gift of faith that God has given his chosen people. We know that his word, this scripture here, is absolute truth. If you remember what Job said, he said, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy his body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. And we all love this verse here. It says in Romans 8:28, and we know, God's people know, that all things work together to the good, to them that love God, to them who are the call of according to his purpose. In verse 18 here, it says, for as much as you know that you were redeemed. What does redeem mean? It means to purchase, to release by paying a ransom, or to deliver by the payment of a price. Because all of God's people are helpless slaves to sin and condemned by the law, and if they are to be forgiven and to be reconciled to God, they have to be redeemed. And verse 18 here again says, in our text says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. God's people are not redeemed by corruptible things. What are corruptible things? Well, we have an evil nature. Whether we like it or not, we have two natures in us. But we are redeemed from that inward nature. We're redeemed from self-righteousness, false religion, being where you mix grace with works, for we know that salvation is of the Lord. And God's chosen people, they know that they can contribute nothing to attain their salvation. For the book of Joel, Jonah says that salvation is of the Lord. If you will, go back to your text and look at verse 18 and 19. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. It's the precious blood of Christ. Like what John said in chapter 1, verse 29, he seen Christ coming unto him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God, that taketh away the sin of the world. This is God's atonement for his church, for the sins of his elect. God's people know that we are redeemed only by the precious blood of Christ. If we are enlightened by the Spirit with a true sense of our sin, our inward sin, our outward sin, our known sin, and our sin within, and to also truly know that the way of salvation is in the precious blood of Christ. How? Through his obedience and sacrifice. We look to and we rest in Christ and Christ only. And the blood of Christ gives us what? Complete justification, pardon, and deliverance from all sin. And we have fellowship with our God. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Christ Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. The only ransom price by which the souls of man can be redeemed is by the precious blood of Christ. The Bible says in Romans 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And we know that for all that Christ died for, they will be saved. Hold your place here if you would, and turn to the first chapter of Matthew. We're going to look at who now, who the Bible says that this Lord Jesus Christ is. First chapter of Matthew. We want to look at verses 18 through 21 concerning Jesus Christ our Lord and why he came into this world. In verse 18 it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they come together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Being Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately." But listen to this. This is the word of God. "While he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And look at this verse. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." John 17:9 says, "The Lord Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." If you will, take your Bibles and turn to John 6. These are the word of God, not of man. John 6, verse 44. The Lord himself said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me, draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Even if you look in the same chapter there, look at verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I shall lose nothing, I shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day." Thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his grace. We'll go back to our text now in 1 Peter. Beginning in verse 18, it says, "Forasmuch as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition from your fathers." Verse 19, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot." Verse 20, "Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world and was manifested in these last days for you." It says, "as a lamb without blemish and without spot." You know, all through the Old Testament, we see a lamb offered, a lamb sacrifice. It began in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned against God. And in Genesis, "unto Adam and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them." Then you have an Abel's lamb. You have his sacrifice. And then in the time of Moses, you had the morning sacrifices and the evening sacrifices. You had the Passover when God was delivering his people out of Egypt. He said in Exodus 12, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I thank God for that. Our Lord is a fulfillment of all these lambs. They all typify the Lord Jesus. What does temptify mean? They're an example of. If you will, take a look at Hebrews 9. Verse 11. The precious blood of the Lamb of God. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not doesn't. I thank God for that. Life is in the Son. Life is in the blood. It says here in verse 11, but Christ Jesus come, a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect sacrifice, not made with hands, but is to say, not of this building. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of heifers are sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And then if you look on over in the same chapter in verse 19, it says, for when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but unto heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy places every year with blood of others. For then must he often have sacrificed since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There are two words that describe the gospel very plainly. Substitution by the Lord Jesus Christ and satisfaction. He satisfied the law of God, and he satisfied the Father by his perfect obedience. His perfect obedience is our righteousness. I think that. And our sins and the demands of the law of God was completely satisfied. If we'll go back to our text now, 1 Peter, verse 18 through 20 again. It says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the condition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, and of a lamb without blemish and without spot, untainted, blood that had no sin in it at all, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, that was manifested these last times for you. Why is the blood so precious? Why is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ so precious? You know, most people in this world, they don't even recognize him. And those that do, they don't recognize him for who he really is. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he is an almighty, sovereign God. That's who the scriptures speak of him. The Bible will read in Matthew 1:23, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. And a verse that we are so familiar with, but I can't pass it up. If you hold your place here and turn to Isaiah 9. It blesses our heart every time we read it. Isaiah 9. Verse 6 and 7. Listen to these words. We're talking about our Lord here, our Savior. He says, for unto us, in verse 6, it says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called, listen to these names, Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And then in verse 7 here, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. I can comprehend that, but there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. Thank God for that. 1 Timothy 3:16, let's go back to your text. 1 Timothy 3:16 says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of godliness? That God himself could become a man, flesh and bone as ours. It says great is the, and great was manifested. Great is the mystery of the godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. He was justified by the Spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed in the world. He was received up into glory. And it was by his precious blood. Look at verse 20 here. Who verily was ordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you. You know, the cross was no afterthought. God's word says that he was a lamb chosen, slain. He was ordained before there was ever an Adam, before there was ever a man, an earth, stars. It says in Revelation 13:8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Verse 20 here, before anything was made, God purposed to save people for his son, a bride. Ephesians 1, verse 3 and 4 says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, the Almighty God. Acts 15:18 says, knowing unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. If you will, take hold your place and take a minute and look at verse 46. I'm about to finish. Isaiah 46. With God, there is no such thing as time. Time was established for this physical world. There's always been a Lord Jesus Christ. They've always been God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. Always has been, and they always will be. It says in verse 9 of Isaiah 46, he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. We'll go back to our text. Verse 20, 21. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in his last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in him. God's word says he was manifested for you who believe in God and the record that he has given us of his son. By him we believe. It says over in the book of Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. And that faith is of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We can approach God. John 14:6 says, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we were accepted by God. Ephesians 1:6 says we are accepted in the beloved. And then we are, and when we come to God, this is such a privilege right here. We can come to God because we have a high priest. And that high priest is Jesus Christ. The Bible says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. And he knows what we've went through. He knows what our infirmities are. And he says that we can come to the throne of grace boldly and obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a privilege that is. And we know that we can come and that we can know God. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, the Bible states, but of him in Christ, being in Christ, that's our only hope that we may obtain Christ and be found in him. Being in Christ, God has made unto us what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. We have no confidence in his flesh at all. But Lord Jesus Christ, he is our faith and our hope, and he is our sure foundation. There's a song that we sing that blesses my heart, and I pray that we can enter into this, but it truly is, and in order to have inner peace and comfort, and it is to realize that we are saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. Nothing that we have ever said and done, nothing we ever will say and do. But God chose us before the foundation of the world and placed us in his Son. And then his Son went to the cross and died and shed his blood. We must never forget that. But I love this song in the name of it. We all know it, but I want to repeat it. It says nothing but the blood. What can wash away my sins? For my pardon this I see. Nothing can for sin atone. Nothing. Nothing. Because this is all my hope and peace. And what is that? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? For my cleansing this I plead. Not of good that I have done. This is all my righteousness. And what is that? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is a flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. It's all in our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, with and in him, we have everything. And without him, we have nothing. It's not about us. It's all about the precious blood of the Lamb of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. I pray that it was a blessing to you. Come right ahead, Eddie.